Good morning and welcome to today's Public Affairs programming here on CBS Radio. I'm Walt Shaw. Ellie Prescher is my guest today, and you are an asset protection attorney. Now, exactly what is that, first of all?
Well, first, thanks for having me on the show. Essentially, what we do as asset protection attorneys is we help our clients protect any asset they have from any financial threat. So our clients might be business owners, lawyers, doctors, people who inherited money, really anybody who has anything to lose. And the type of assets we're protecting might be as simple as checking, saving, stocks, bonds, real estate, cars, boats, but we also protect membership interest in LLCs, shares in corporations, business, anything of value. And we're protecting these assets against any financial threat. So obviously in today's day and age, the majority are lawsuits, short sale or foreclosure deficiencies, divorce, etc. So essentially what we do is we try and make it as difficult and expensive, if not impossible, for anybody to collect against you.
Well, in this litigious society, that's very important because, and I don't know how many attorneys are actually doing this, but I know a lot of financial advisors advise people to get attorneys to protect against these things.
Yeah, and I think that's very smart of the financial advisors. You know, they might not be an expert at asset protection, but certainly they should at least tell their client, and I think they have a duty, to tell their client, to at least seek out an asset protection attorney. And there aren't many asset protection attorneys. It really is a big niche. I'd say there's about 10 in the country, that really, know what they're doing and get most of the business. But in today's litigious society, it's absolutely crazy. With the bad economy, there's over 100 million lawsuits every single year. The stats are that 1 in 3 people will be sued in the next 12 months. And believe it or not, the average person and business is sued about 4 to 5 times over their lifetime. So unfortunately, with people losing their jobs and making less and less money, the lawsuits become the next biggest business.
Now, these suits are primarily against whom, though? The corporations or the companies people work for or other people?
No, they can be against anyone, and really the worst is when they're against the individual itself. It's one thing to sue the company, but if you're a business owner, they're going to sue you as well. And again, it depends on what type of litigation we're talking about, but if there's a car accident, if there's a breach of contract claim, if there's some sort of deficiency on a short sale or a foreclosure, if there's a divorce, they're going to be suing you personally. So nobody is immune. Nobody wakes up in the morning and expects to be sued. Anybody can be sued at any time.
Well, you have some little-known strategies, too, that can help people. Perhaps you can go through some of those.
Sure. And, before we talk about the strategies, I always tell my clients to do two things. The first thing is they need to educate themselves. They need to be a better client. And what we want to do is, for any of your listeners, if they go to our website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, that's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, if they fill out the contact us and let us know that they heard about us on your show, we're going to send them a free copy of our newest book, Financial Self-Defense. So the first thing they should do is definitely educate themselves. After they've educated themselves, they need to inventory their wealth. And they can find, again, on our website, assetprotectionattorneys.com, an asset worksheet where they can inventory their wealth. And the point is that is so many people walk into my office and they have so many more assets than what they think they have walking in. Most people just target the regular assets like checking and savings and real estate and cars. Well, what if somebody owes you money? What if there's going to be an inheritance? Do you own intellectual property like a domain name, a website, a phone number? People have a lot more than they think they do. So the first two things that they must do is, number one, educate themselves, and number two, inventory their wealth. Once they've educated themselves and inventoried their wealth, there's a number of strategies they can take. And what I'd say the most important ones are is to take any exposed wealth, and that essentially means any asset in their personal name, and either A, transfer it to a protective entity, so that's like an LLC, a limited partnership, a trust. The key there is to own nothing but control everything. B is transfer the asset into an exempt asset. Different states protect different different assets from creditors. So, for example, Florida protects your primary residence, your life insurance, your annuities, etc., from creditors. Find out what the exemptions are in your state and use your exposed wealth, you know, money sitting in the checking account, to buy exempt assets that are protected from creditors. And lastly, you know, you want to use liens and mortgages to your advantage. I call it equity stripping. You know, what's a $50,000 car worth if you owe $49,000? What's a $500,000 house worth if you owe $450,000? You know, put liens, put mortgages on your property to make yourself an unattractive candidate for a lawsuit.
Well, this is interesting, and an interesting concept that you have here, too, and just trying to figure out how much you actually do own and what your assets are can be a real chore for some people.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, everyone who walks through my office doors leaves knowing that they have a lot more than they thought they did walking in.
Now, do you have offices throughout the country, or just we're in Philadelphia?
No, you know, our main offices are located right on the border of Boca Raton, Florida, and Deerfield Beach, Florida. But we are a nationwide practice. And again, our website is assetprotectionattorneys.com, and we help clients throughout the United States and other countries.
Do you have outlets in California, for example?
We don't have a physical office presence in California, but a lot of our clients will actually fly to see us, and we can do a lot of work via video conferencing and telephone and email. You know, these days, it's like you're there.
All right, let's talk about some of these unprotected lawsuits now, or unprotected assets primarily. A lot of people, I'm sure, have these.
Definitely. You know, anything unprotected is really anything in your personal name. So if you have a checking account or a saving account, or if you have a stock or a bond or, you know, brokerage account, if you have a home, if you have a car or a boat, you know, if that's in your own name, that is totally 100% unprotected and 0% protected. Same thing for a business. If you have a S-Corp or a C-Corp, you know, if you own the shares in the S-Corp or the C-Corp, that's just like having it in your own name. You know, you can lose your business, you know, your cash flow mechanism overnight. So anything that's in your own name, you have to get out of it at all costs. And again, depending on what the asset is, you want to transfer it potentially to a protective entity. You know, maybe put your rental property in LLC. You know, maybe put your brokerage account in a limited partnership. You know, maybe set up some trusts, but set up different structures to get everything out of your personal name.
I have a cousin who's a farmer, and that's basically what he did. He farmed his own corporation.
And, you know, corporations are great because they protect your personal assets from business debt. And that's why most people set them up. You know, there's two types. There's S-Corps and C-Corps. You know, the only difference is taxation. The only problem is people never think the other way around. You know, people set up those corporations to protect their personal assets from business debt. Well, what about protecting your business assets from personal debt? You know, there's so many times where people get sued, whether it's the car accident, the breach of contract claim. Anytime somebody is sued personally, if they own shares in a C-Corp or an S-Corp, those can be taken away. Just like a share of Facebook stock is an asset, there's no difference between a share of stock in your own company. So be very wary of owning the S-Corp or the C-Corp shares. You know, if you have an S-Corp, you can set up a special trust to own the shares. If you have a C-Corp, you might want the shares owned by an LLC or a limited partnership. But make sure you have both outside and inside protection.
Now, in this book that you're talking about, that you're offering for free, what do you have it of? It's kind of like a Dick and Jane reader. You just I step through it, or how does it set up?
Yeah, you know, it's very easy reading. And again, you know, any of your listeners, if they go to our website, www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, that's assetprotectionattorneys.com, as long as they mention that they heard about us on your show, we're going to send them a free copy. The way it's broken out is it's broken out by chapter, and it talks about how to protect specific assets. So how to protect your house is a chapter, how to protect your investment account as a chapter, you know, how to protect your real estate, how to protect your business. So that's the first half of the book. Then it talks about how to protect yourself in different situations. So how do you protect yourself from foreclosure? How do you protect yourself from lawsuits? How do you protect yourself from divorce? It's a very easy read, and really it's a good educational tool for anybody out there, you know, who doesn't want to lose what they've worked their whole life to obtain.
Finding a lawyer in your own hometown that can do these things. What are the are the special education factors here?
You know, that's the whole reason we tell them to read the book, you know, become an educated client no matter who they hire. Like I said, our office handles clients nationwide, so certainly, you know, we can always be of help. But we understand that sometimes people want someone in their own state that they can drive to their office and visit them locally. But I would just, you know, ask the attorney, you know, what type of asset protection do they do? Do they do both domestic and international, or just one or the other? You know, if somebody's doing just domestic or just international asset protection, you know, they might be biased. You want to ask them, how many entities have they set up? How many LLCs? How many limited partnerships? How many trusts do they do on a yearly basis? And also, is that their only niche? You know, for example, we don't do anything but asset protection. So every day we speak to, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people who need asset protection. You know, is this attorney just doing asset protection once a year, or has he built a business around this? But certainly you want to make sure that he has the educational background and the credibility, because it really doesn't matter who you hire until it matters, if that makes sense.
Now, you're talking about asset protection now and what you specialize in, but you're not being specific here, I don't think, about exactly what people should be looking for, or is this outlined in your directive?
When you say what they should be looking for, do you mean in regards to hiring an attorney?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, what they need to find is they need to find an attorney who specializes and focuses on solely both domestic and international asset protection. You know, asset protection isn't for the everyday lawyer, you know, who does real estate closings and criminal work and litigation. I mean, it really is a specialty. It's really a niche. You know, it's like if you needed brain surgery, you know, you're not going to go to a back surgeon. You know, you want to go to the best. So you really need to interview any possible asset protection attorney and see, is this the area of practice that they're really focusing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you're saying, too, that just about every one of your clients and just about everybody, period, needs to have this type of protection.
You know, they definitely do, but they need it to different degrees. I always give the example, you know, take one of our professional athlete clients. You know, if they're worth $15 million, you know, if they're sued for $5 million and they lose, they're not going to be happy. But at the end of the day, they're still going to have $10 million. They can still support themselves and their family. You know, contrast that with the everyday Joe who might have a couple hundred $100,000 saved up. You know, if he sued for $1 million, he's going to be wiped out. So it's my belief that the small guy needs it a lot more than the big guy. But with that being said, obviously they're not going to need it to the same degree.
This is certainly applicable to a guy making $40,000 a year as well.
Without a question.
Now, perhaps you have some stories you can relate to our listeners here about some of the cases that you have had.
I've seen probably almost every lawsuit you can imagine. You know, I've seen tons of cases where, you know, a parent dies and there's a lot of litigation and disputes over, you know, the inheritance, you know, who should get it, who shouldn't. You know, maybe someone wasn't named in the will for specific reasons and they sue all the siblings. I've seen a lot of business owners who have sold their business. The new owner, the buyer, increases the expenses and decreases the income and essentially runs the business to the ground. They come back a few years later, you know, claiming fraud or something of that sort. You know, I call it renegotiation. You know, and then there's some of the crazy lawsuits, I mean, that you can read about on the internet. You know, the people who come to rob your house, you know, they get hurt on your property and they sue you and win. There was a case in 2011. It was absolutely crazy. There was a robber and he kidnapped a family, and when he was arrested, he actually sued the family for breach of oral contract because he stated that they agreed to help him escape. I mean, it's just, unfortunately, in today's day and age, you can sue for anything, and it doesn't cost a lot to sue. You know, you can file a claim pro se, and it might cost you a couple hundred dollars in the courthouse, or you can hire an attorney for free on contingency fee basis and essentially sue someone. You don't have to post any bond, and it's really incredible.
Well, there's been a lot of that in California, too, and there's been efforts to have tort reform, but that usually it doesn't go through.
Yeah.
Because a lot of legislature members are also trial lawyers.
And unfortunately, you know, we have too many lawyers out there that are willing to take these frivolous cases. I mean, I'm of the belief that, you know, hey, if you want to sue someone, post a bond, you know, put your money where your mouth is, and guess what? If you lose, you pay their attorney's fees. You know, unfortunately, we just make it way too easy to sue, and people figure, hey, you know, it's going to cost the other side $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, you know, just to defend the case, so maybe they'll give me a couple thousand dollars, you know, just to go away. You know, they call it nuisance value.
Happened in some restaurants and things too.
Everywhere. It happens everywhere. And it's absolutely incredible. And listen, I'm not trying to take away from the real lawsuits. You know, when you have the car companies that, you know something's wrong with the vehicle and they don't recall them because the recall is going to be more costly than the, than the lawsuit expense, you know, they should be sued. But what I'm talking about today is really the frivolous lawsuits.
Let's talk about protection from these lawsuits now. What does it cost to have an attorney set up some of these protections?
Sure. Well, the cost range, you know, and I always tell my clients, you know, asset protection is not an all or nothing field. You know, you don't have to be either 0% protected or 100% protected. You know, it's a cost benefit analysis. Is it worth X to protect Y? Is it worth Y to protect Z? So really, you know, if a client comes in with a certain budget, you know, you can always do asset protection. You might not be able to do everything under the sun, but at least you can give them some degree of protection for whatever their budget is. I tell clients that, again, you know, it's up to you. It's like buying a car. You know, you could buy a Honda or you can buy a Mercedes, and then you can pick any options you want. It's up to you. You know, I don't tell people how to spend their money. What we do at our firm is, you know, we help educate and then we give a professional recommendation. It's up to the client how they actually want to move forward. But if you figure, you know, whatever you would spend on a nice vacation, that's probably what it's going to cost you. And, you know, if your vacations are, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, you might be able to do some work for that. And if you have more extravagant vacations of $15,000 or $20,000, because you know you're in a higher net worth area, then you know might cost you a little more. But again, you know, you can do cases for as little as $1,000, and you know we've done cases for six figures before.
Now, what about setting up a will or a trust or something like that? Do you become involved with that at all?
You know, we do, but we only do that in specific states where we're licensed. But I do tell people, everybody needs an estate plan. It's the craziest thing. I mean, if there's one thing that's sure about in our life, that's death. You know, everybody's going to die at some point. And I know people don't like to think about it, but I think the stats last time I checked were like 7 out of 10 Americans die without a will or an estate plan. And unfortunately, they're just leaving, you know, a huge expense and confusion behind for their loved ones. So I would encourage everyone, you know, to go see their local estate planning attorney, get a will, get a trust, you know, power of attorney, healthcare surrogate, all the standard documents, just so God forbid when something happens, you know, they have everything in place.
Okay, so there are standard documents and procedures then for all of this as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, for example, you know, when you do your estate plan and you do your power of attorney and your healthcare surrogate, you know, you want to talk about, you know, who do you want to make the financial decisions, God forbid you're incapacitated? You know, who do you want to make the medical decisions, God forbid you're incapacitated? So, again, you know, you want to put these documents, into place before something happens, because you just never know when something's going to happen.
Take a look at the definitions of some of these terms now, too. For setting up a corporation, for example, exactly what is a corporation if you're looking at family members?
Sure. Well, you know, a corporation, you know, is just a form of a legal entity. And there's a lot of different legal entities. There's the corporation, both the C-Corp and the S-Corp. There's the LLC. There's the limited partnership and lots of other variations. And, you know, again, you set up different entities for different reasons. You know, you might want to put liability-producing assets like cars, homes, businesses, you know, and LLCs, while you might want to put, safe assets like checking or savings or stocks and bonds and brokerage accounts and limited partnerships. So you want to make sure that you're using the right entity for whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Well, you have limited liability companies and also partnerships. Perhaps you can explain those.
Yeah, limited liability companies are great, again, for dangerous assets. If you own rental real estate, if you're starting a new business, I definitely suggest creating an LLC. With that being said, there's still a newer type of entity. They've only been around for about 20 or 30 years, and the laws keep changing on them. One huge example, in Florida, I think the date was June 2010, there was a Florida Supreme Court case called the Olmstead case, and essentially that changed LLC law in Florida forever. So, you know, LLCs are great, but understand that, you know, they are not fully tested. When you talk about partnerships, you know, you never want to have just a general partnership between you and someone else, and that's because if you do, you're both liable for each other's actions, and that's the worst case. You know, not only are you liable for yourself, but you're liable for other people. But limited partnerships are great, and limited partnerships are great to set up as holding companies to own either brokerage accounts, maybe shares in a C-Corp, membership interest in an LLC. So again, you just have to know when to use each entity.
All right, let's talk about the family limited partnerships now, too. Isn't it true that a lot of, especially rich families, set these up with their kids and relatives and everybody else?
They do, and you know, they're not just for the rich families. Again, the family limited partnership is a great asset protection tool. I would argue that it's probably one of the most protective entities in the entire United States, you know, to hold liquid assets. So I think the family limited partnership is good for the people who have, you know, millions of dollars. I think it's good for the people who have a couple hundred thousand dollars. It's definitely good for everybody. And the limited partnership has been around for so long, so it's been tested. You know, unlike the LLC, you know, we know what's going to happen. We know what the laws are. So I think that's a great entity of choice.
Well, perhaps you can explain that further, too, for the family limited partnerships.
Sure. Well, the way the family limited partnerships are made up is there's two main partners. There's the general partner and there's the limited partner. The general partner always owns the minority. The limited partner always owns the majority. It doesn't matter how much a general partner, let me rephrase that. It doesn't matter how little a general partner owns or how much a limited partner owns. The general partner is the only one who can make any decisions regarding the partnership. So what you'll see a lot is when the people want to involve, you know, their kids in the planning, you know, they might put their kids in as limited partners, you know, that way, you know, their kids have ownership. However, they might remain the general partners where they can control it, you know, as the parent. So it's a way to help gift each year to the kids as well. So it's not only an asset protection mechanism, but also an estate planning vehicle as well.
What about the different types of trusts that would be applicable to this?
You know, there's different types of trusts. You know, domestically, which is inside the United States, there's two main type of trusts. There's revocable trusts and there's irrevocable trusts. Everybody should have a revocable trust, and I refer to it as a domestic revocable living trust. Probably the biggest misconception I see is that a lot of people have these and they think that they have asset protection because they have them. That's completely false. A domestic revocable living trust will give you absolutely no asset protection. It's great for estate planning because it helps you avoid probate, so I do encourage you to have one, but don't do it because you think your assets are going to be protected. The mere fact that it's revocable, well, if you're ever sued, a judge can order you to revoke the trust and take the assets out of them and give them to a creditor. An irrevocable trust is the only type of trust inside the United States, you know, that can protect assets. The only issue with the irrevocable trust is it truly is irrevocable. So understand that before you put any type of asset into an irrevocable trust, understand that you're not going to have any ownership or control on it moving forward. If you're able to, you know, break that chain and give up the ownership and control, you know, an irrevocable trust is a great tool for asset protection. The problem we see is that so many clients aren't willing to do that. Another alternative is the International Asset Protection Trust, and that's really for someone who has at least $1 million of liquid, just because it's cost prohibitive to set up and maintain otherwise. But that's a great alternative. I mean, that is a very solid asset protection vehicle to hold liquid assets and other assets.
Well, you've got a term, too, called, what is it, equity stripping. What is that all about?
You know, equity stripping is really just making everything valueless. And again, that's something we talk about in the book. And any of your listeners who go to our website at www.assetprotectionattorneys.com, if they fill out the contact us, as long as they mention your show, we'll send them a free book. But the general idea of equity stripping is, you know, make yourself look valueless. You know, make yourself a bad candidate for a lawsuit. Use liens, use mortgages, use the fact that you may or may not owe someone money to your advantage. You know, if you've borrowed $200,000 from your parents to start a business, why not take the loan and have them put a mortgage on your house? You know, take a line of credit out on your house. Do whatever you can to make your assets valueless. And again, I always give the example, you know, what's a $50,000 car worth if you owe $49,000? You know, what's a $500,000 house worth if you owe $450,000? So find a way to you know, strip the asset of its value, you know, by placing liens, lines of credits, and mortgages on top of them.
Well, Mr. Presser, we're down to about a minute on today's program. Perhaps you can give us a final comment.
You know, the final comment is, you know, really, you spend a lifetime trying to make your money. And what I tell everyone is, for every 60 minutes you spend making money, spend 60 seconds thinking about how to protect it. Because you don't want to be 60, 70, 80 years old, ready to retire, and all of a sudden you get in one car accident, one lawsuit that can wipe you out from everything. And again, just educate yourself. You know, if you do something, if you don't do something, at least know there are options out there for you. And again, if they go to our website, it's www.assetprotectionattorneys.com. If they fill out the contact us, we'll send them a complimentary book.
Well, thanks very much for joining us today, too. And if our listeners have any questions regarding this program, they may address their correspondence to CBS Public Affairs in care of this station. Thanks for listening. I'm Walt Shaw.